We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking about the Motherlode Regional Juvenile Detention Facility on this weekend show. Joined on the program by the facility superintendent, Annie Hockett, the chief probation officer for Tuolumne County, Dan Hawks, and the chair of the Tuolumne County Supervisors, Ryan Campbell. I'll go back over to facility superintendent Hockett. Can you explain a little bit of the statistics in relation to, you know, how many youth are in the facility at a given time and how long they typically stay?
Yes. So, you know, we look at our data regularly. We try to, you know, adapt our services to make the most sense of the kids that we're serving. So data is something that we look at a lot. In looking at last year, our average daily population was 13.2 youth. And in comparing that to prior years, we've seen that figure steadily kind of increase. And again, I think that speaks to that increase in utilization of those out-of-county partners. Additionally, we've seen an increase in our average length of stay. So we track on average how long a minor might stay in custody. And so we have seen that increase. Last year, it was 72 days was the average length of stay. That I think also speaks to, you know, some of the offenses that we are seeing. We do see very serious offenses that our kids are dealing with. And so that typically does correlate with a longer commitment at the facility.
What would be like the max number of youth that you could house at a given time?
So we are by nature a 30-bed facility. However, we are staffed for approximately 16 youth. With that, however, last year we did convert 5 of our beds into camp beds. And I can explain a little bit about our camp program. That essentially is a program that's targeted to youth with more severe treatment needs and typically on a longer term commitment. And so with those camp beds come increased case management, an increased focus on kind of vocational training, transitional, you know, planning back into the community. And so we do technically now have 25 detention beds and 5 camp beds.
You know, when youth do come to the facility, what kind of programs are there to try to reduce recidivism and hopefully not see them come back to the facility again?
Yeah, our program, really, you know, I think Dan mentioned, we really, and Supervisor Campbell, we really are considered a model program because of the amount of services that we do offer. So when youth initially come in, we do comprehensive screening, mental health needs, physical health needs, educational needs, and we really develop a case plan for what type of services those youth need while they're here accessing services. And, you know, we have an on-site mental health clinician that provides a number of clinical services, both individual counseling and group therapy. We have our juvenile correctional officers that run a number of programs, and we tailor those programs really to those identified needs. Typically, those needs center around substance use. We see a lot of kids that struggle with that issue. Kind of anger management. We do a lot of work around kind of that that ability to manage those impulses. We do a lot of partnering with our educational folks. We have a top-notch school here. A lot of our kids come in, they're credit deficient. They are, you know, in need of special education services or reevaluation. So we really, you know, do a number of things depending on what those needs are.
Do you find that the programs work and are successful to helping kids prevent reoffending?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we have a lot of kids that, you know, as they're transitioning out, they tell us, I mean, literally just this morning, I had a kid that was leaving and said, you know, thank you so much. If I didn't have this place, I don't know where I would be. And I feel like I'm primed to go back into the community and be successful. We have kids call all the time, you know, just checking back in saying, guess what? I got a job. Guess what? I got a place to live. So I do really feel like we do some incredible things, and I'm so thankful that we have this facility and the community partners that we do have in place because we all have to work together to make this work for kids.
And I don't want to forget about our volunteers. We have great volunteers. Yes. And other agencies that pitch in and do very wonderful things with our youth. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit, Annie, but I'm impressed by that.
Yeah, we certainly have a lot of volunteers, as Chief Hawk said, and you name it, we've probably had someone come and volunteer. We have good partnerships with our 4-H partners in the community that do some volunteering. We have religious services that's done all through volunteers. We've had people come in and teach guitar. We've had restaurant owners come in and teach cooking. We have a group of retired women who make quilts for the kids. You know, the community support that we do receive is so humbling. And I think anybody who does, you know, see the work that's being done here, they are first to sign up. What can we do? How can we help? You guys are doing a great thing, and they want to be a part of that.
So it sounds like the facility, you know, has kind of two ways of punishing a kid, but also getting them back on the right track so they can be successful. Is that an accurate statement?
The goal of the juvenile system is always rehabilitation. That's the number one goal in juvenile justice. And I think, you know, as Annie mentioned, some of the assessments we do, you know, focus in on past trauma or adverse childhood experiences that youth have had. And, you know, one thing that is striking to me is that so many of our youth have had, you know, such tremendous trauma and you know, have endured so many different things. It didn't happen overnight for, you know, the majority of the youth that come in when they're arrested. There is a whole, you know, long history of abuse and neglect and other factors that have kind of led to that. You know, that's one of the most striking factors to me is, you know, these crimes aren't just committed in a vacuum. It's a history of, you know, behaviors and problems and neglect that has, you know, in many ways influenced that behavior.
So earlier trauma is usually the common link?
I think it is. It's been with us. I mean, I think that once again, you know, when we talk about being a model facility and you know, our county is definitely on the cutting edge. There's a lot coming out now about trauma-informed care and you know, measures to get that in place. I know Annie has done a wonderful job implementing that, you know, years ago, and we're ahead of the curve on all that. And yes, I think that's definitely the case, is that the majority of our youth have had significant prior childhood trauma that, you know, have led to this point. They're just, you know, oftentimes they're aging out of one system and entering to the next. And this is where we have, you know, the greatest hope of changing and rehabilitating them and preventing them from entering a life of crime as adults.
Yeah. And I'm really glad you brought that up, Dan. There's been a significant amount of research in the past few years, very new, into trauma-informed care and the causes of crime amongst youth. This is not new. There has always been crime with young people, and pretty much going back, you know, decades, our solution to that was to put them in a box and get them out of sight, out of mind, away from the community. And what you end up with are kids that grow up to be adults who do not have the tools to succeed in life. And those adults will go on to commit more severe crimes, be more of a drag on the community, and we do not want to see that. And the reason why you end up with kids who grow up to be adults, who grow up to be criminals, is you give up on them. And we do not give up on our kids in Tuolumne County. We made a stand. We invested in our kids with this juvenile detention facility. We invested in programs to prevent recidivism, to improve their outcomes, to provide education, drug rehabilitation. We have volunteers in the community that, I cannot say enough about the time and the dedication that they've donated to this program. And it is all in the direction of not giving up on our kids.
And that's important too. I mean, previously when we had kids farmed out all over the state, it was impossible for their families and their pro-social, you know, their mentors and other, you know, positive influences in their life to really have an ongoing sustained relationship with them. You know, we knew families couldn't get up there and see their kids. We always tried to facilitate visits when they had court visits and things like that. But, you know, in the facility, that's an everyday occurrence. There's you know, there's parents and families and mentors coming in, and we're building the youth up and focusing on those positive things in their lives that they already have going, and helping, you know, use those resources in place to transition them, you know, back out into the community. And, you know, that was the missing piece before. I'd say.
Going to take one more break. We're talking about the Motherlode Regional Juvenile Detention Facility on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Joined on the program this morning by Dan Hawks, Chief Probation Officer for Tuolumne County, the Superintendent of the Facility, Annie Hockett, and the Chairman of the Tuolumne County Supervisors, Ryan Campbell. Need to take one more break. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Final segment coming up in just a minute.